Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brennan Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
It is Friday, October 12th, 2018. It's 7:38 a.m. on the East Coast. The Great American Bash, which is what you're listening to, is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. The biggest story in both worlds happens to be the biggest story in both worlds.
Yeah.
That's a first, maybe, since the July 4th, 2017 body slam tweet, which was not a body slam tweet.
Yeah.
We've clearly gone over this multiple times when Trump tweeted out him clotheslining CNN.
Yeah. You can read about that in Slate. I wrote a piece about that last year. I think this is one of the bigger stories since, you know, the election of a WWE Hall of Famer to the presidency, which we wrote about in our book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. But the big story this week, this is from The Washington Post. The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, ordered an operation to lure Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi back to Saudi Arabia from his home in Virginia and then detain him, according to U.S. intelligence intercepts of Saudi officials discussing the plan. So Khashoggi has then disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
New reports come out that there is audio that prove that he was tortured and murdered and dismembered. So this is in our purview, not just because this is a horrifying story, but also because on November 2nd, the WWE will return to Saudi Arabia, site of the greatest Royal Rumble, for the Crown Jewel, a pay-per-view event featuring the unretirement of Shawn Michaels, teaming up with Triple H, the COO of the company, to face the Brothers of Destruction, Kane, a mayor of Knox County, and The Undertaker, just a guy.
So this episode will end with a chat with Marcus Gilmer. Marcus is a writer for Mashable. He's appeared on my other show for WGN Plus, Ubi Est Mia. Marcus is a former Chicagoan, but more importantly, he's a writer for Mashable. And yesterday evening he wrote, here's why WWE fans are talking about the mysterious disappearance of a Saudi Arabian journalist. He published that on Thursday afternoon. Thursday evening, WWE did get back to him with a statement, which was surprising for two reasons. Number one, they never do that.
Mm-hmm.
They usually are able to brush things like this under the rug. And number two, I think that means that this pay-per-view might not happen.
There is a brief statement they released publicly. We are currently monitoring the situation.
Okay. So this situation is very dark and seemingly complicated, but maybe not complicated, because when you deal with people that, you know, dismember people.
Yeah, I mean, they want to
literally dismember people. This is not like a pay-per-view name dismember.
This is not November to dismember.
Yeah, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't do the fake sport in the place that perpetrates the real murder.
But as we've talked about plenty on this show, WWE kind of, they exist in this place where, because it's fake, they're not taken seriously, even though they're a billion-dollar company. Think about what would happen if NFL was doing, like, we're going to do a football game November 2nd in Saudi Arabia. It would be immediately canceled. There'd be boycotts. There'd be Nike would pull out. Like, there'd be all this huge shit. And even though WWE has a lot of those deals, they have TV deals with Fox. Because of the
existentially, nature of the thing,
they do not get the kind of coverage that they should get for. Giving the idea of these events basically is to give $10 to $50 million for each one to the WWE in exchange for helping the MBS's propaganda that, look, I'm modernizing the country. We allow fake sports. So the first one they did over the summer was already pretty gross.
Marcus and I go over this, but I don't think it was as gross and as bad as it could have been, and I think that there were a few silver linings to this entire thing, and it's really easy to shit on the WWE. It's really easy to shit on anyone dealing with a country that might not be progressive as you, but it's not like WWE isn't going to territories in the United States where you would disagree with a lot of what's going on.
Sure, but it's definitely not the same thing. It's going anywhere in the United States.
Here's why it's the same thing. Cena went over. Cena brought out the kids, both boys and girls. That was a great sign. They did play that video in the arena
That you mean the one that then they got threatened by
exactly.
people even further to the right?
But they did that. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the good thing. It's a lot of bad. It's
I don't think there was literally any good about even if the fact that it was propaganda. It can look good, like Cena bringing out the kids and lending his mm-hmm. name and credence to that. But what you're doing is legitimizing, like, one of the worst regimes on the planet.
Don't disagree whatsoever. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think just doing it was gross in the first place. There was no, I mean, they take the money and that's fine. There's no ethical consumption in capitalism, but there has to be a line, and that really should have been one. And now this one, the fact that it could cost them money, I think it's great. I hope the event does get canceled. I hope this whole deal gets canceled.
Oh, yeah, I hope it gets canceled as well.
Because it's disgusting. And it really, it's like, you know, it's the issue and the intersection we have is we also have a president who says, you know, about this, we don't like it. We don't like it even a little bit. But as to whether or not we should stop $110 billion from being spent in this country, knowing they have four or five alternatives, two of them very good alternatives, that would not be acceptable to me. So basically, it's you do what's best for business.
There we go.
The issue, obviously, this is not surprising. The $110 billion figure is grossly inaccurate. It's much lower. And much like the economy successes, he's taking credit for Barack Obama's billion-dollar deals with the Saudis, giving them guns to murder Yemenis. It's like, it's really, you know, it just credit where credit's due.
One thing that Marcus and I did not talk about, but you and I wrote about in the book, mm-hmm. is we always say Trump and Vince are the same.
Yes.
But maybe even more importantly, Jared Kushner and Paul Levesque, Jared Kushner and the King of Kings, Jared Kushner and half of DX, Jared Kushner and Triple H, they are actually also the same person.
Yes, also from the Post. The intelligence poses a political problem for the Trump administration because it implicates Muhammad, who is particularly close to Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor. And yes, Triple H, as the CEO, as the man making a lot of these deals, mm-hmm. I don't know about personally.
He's the face of the connection between the WWE and Saudi Arabia.
It's not The Rock who talked about what a great dinner he had with MBS a year ago?
I think his was May of this year.
Oh, that's this year.
Yeah.
Time flies
when
you're
month after.
Dining with the worst people in the history of the world. That event will be on November 2nd. And if the fact that no women will be allowed and the fact that a Canadian Syrian who literally slaves children will not be allowed there.
Hold on. Who are you referring to? Because not everyone knows.
That would be Sami Zayn.
Now, Sami Zayn consciously objected to the Greatest Royal Rumble in April of this year and instead didn't work, and they gave him a fake injury.
Yeah.
And then about, what, 2-3 weeks later, he actually had a real injury, and he's been on the shelf since then.
Right.
So, at least they didn't completely blacklist Sami Zayn. That
right.
gives me some hope too. And actually, in the meantime, they have done some progressive things in Syria. So that's kind of weird. Not kind of weird at all. They're just doing the PR thing. When we do one bad thing, we'll do one bigger, smaller, good thing.
So speaking of smaller, good things, on October 28th, it will be WWE Evolution. Mm-hmm. And for fans of wrestling, this isn't the Evolution they already had, which was Ric Flair, Triple H, Batista, and Randy Orton. This is an all-women's pay-per-view. I wrote about the WWE's Women's Evolution, which is their parlance, this summer in the Washington Post. You can read about that. The issue with this is the timing of it. I mean, it seemed when I spoke with the Cerebral Assassin in August, he kind of hinted at something like this happening. So it was already in the works, but that was post Greatest Royal Rumble. Is post the backlash they had for how are you saying you're having a women's evolution and then you have an event where you can't even have women come to the country. And so there is the cynical part of it where they're doing this as cover. The fact that it's 4 days before they possibly go to Saudi Arabia is also gross. What do you think of the card though?
Oh, it's bad.
So, yeah.
But it's not bad because of anything that they did wrong other than not give their employees some time to rest.
Right. They've been nonstop between events in Saudi Arabia, events in Australia. They just had the Super Showdown, which was last week.
Yes.
October 6th was the Super Showdown. October 16th, they're having SmackDown 1000. October 28th, Evolution. November 2nd is Crown Jewel. November 18th is Survivor Series. They've been trying to build three pay-per-views at a time, basically. And, they're not really telling the stories that well, and they really haven't... There's really not much of a card for this event, which is the 28th.
By the way, I apologize. I was looking at my phone. I was seeing if there are tickets available for Evolution, not on the secondary market. And sadly, or maybe not sadly.
Oh, no, there's definitely tickets available.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
It's at Uniondale, New York at Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The tagline is first ever all women's pay-per-view comes to Long Island. I don't think that's the official tagline, but the card we're looking at
could be great. It's not.
So it's, yeah. So basically what their idea was, like the first Women's Royal Rumble from January, let's bring back the legends. Mm-hmm. You know, the legendary workers who, even in the dark times of WWE, did amazing work. Trish Stratus, Lita, the Bella Twins, which is this my small thing here.
Complaint.
It's a complaint is that it's hilarious. They bring the Bella Twins back, Nikki and Brie Bella, who were the entire reason that the women's...
We disagree on this.
So the Bella Twins, not particularly good wrestlers. Nikki got a little better. Brie has gotten demonstrably worse, to where she's concussing people accidentally. But even in storyline and kind of with the fans' perspective was the fact that they were the top of the division and couldn't work. Mm-hmm. That's what led to, you know, a revolution. That's what led to the call up of Sasha and
so the tipping point of this is probably WrestleMania 31. Not the tipping point, but like one of the major markers here. We have the Bella Twins versus two women that could actually wrestle, Paige and AJ Lee. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And then Paige and AJ Lee go over. Paige essentially becomes like the next step in this during this time. They give women like 2 minutes on Raw or no minutes on Raw. And then there's the hashtag give divas a chance because they were known as divas. It's unfortunate for everyone involved. They slowly change that because it's progressive to just finally refer to people as people. And then by this point, Paige is hurt and is out of the company for personal reasons. AJ Lee is out of the company for also personal reasons. The Bell Twins are still there, but one of the Bell Twins goes away. So there, it's not like there weren't other good wrestlers. It's just that where's the consistency here? Where are we making the money here? The Bella Twins during this time are taking off on Total Divas. They have their own reality show, a spinoff of it. I understand.
I get why they do it.
Okay,
I'm not
and it's
surprised.
Not like the Bella Twins are the problem here.
No, the company is the problem.
The company is slowly getting better. I don't know why I become like a WWE apologist of all weeks.
Because you're a stockholder.
Yeah, damn right
you're
I am.
You're invested, literally.
It's not as... I don't blame the Bella Twins for any of this.
No, I don't. I don't. But I do blame...
And I'm not going to shit on the Bella Twins.
Why not? They're public figures. Who gives a shit?
Because I legitimately enjoy the Brie and Daniel Bryan shirt that they recently released.
Good for
they
you.
They had the tag team.
So the thing with this card is it's a mix of the legends that they brought back, like Lita and Trish. You know, so they basically... The card right now... And they had a storyline while you're building three pay-per-views. They had to get to a certain point. So... Thankfully, the Bella Twins finally turned on Ronda Rousey, so we will have Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella for the women's championship, which is that's the match you do at this pay-per-view.
I disagree. I think this one is for the marks. You don't do that one. This is for the smarks, I should say. This is the match where you should have Charlotte and Becky do an hour, and you just have... This is when you call up all the NXT
people. Well, that's never going to happen, so... They did 20. They did like 20 on Tuesday.
They had the longest match of the week.
The longest women's match ever on Raw or SmackDown.
It was amazing. And it was a brutal ending.
Yeah.
It was great.
Charlotte speared Becky through the LED screen.
It was amazing. Yeah. Here's my complaint, because this is still a show about wrestling. Mm-hmm. We have to complain about everything. Yeah.
And politics. You had to complain about that too.
You mentioned that they're doing three pay-per-views at the same time. There's also these weird spin-offs, right?
Like what?
Mixed Match Challenge.
Yes.
So Mixed Match Challenge was that night, and Charlotte was supposed to perform in that, and she did, which totally negates the brutal...
Did she still sell?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
She can't... Okay, the crash of the LEDs, it ended with blood, like real scary blood, like this person might be hurt blood. And then like 2 segments later, they're like, Charlotte will still be on Mixed Match Challenge, which is just like, well, then she's not that hurt.
Right. It exposes the business.
That great spot you did that very few people are able to do is now nothing.
Right.
Why'd you do that?
Because they don't care. Because they expect so little of their fans. And generally, the fans have proven them right. So, I mean, this card, I think what they wanted on this one was to sell tickets. It is still a live event that is not selling tickets. So I think that's why they're doing Ronda versus Nikki. And I think Ronda versus Charlotte is a WrestleMania, potential WrestleMania closer. Or second to Roman Reigns.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So they want to save that one as long as they can. So Ronda versus Nikki, probably don't put the belt on Nikki. You can do some fuckery with Brie, so you do that as your match.
It feels weird because they're going to do the twin magic thing. Do you want to explain twin magic?
So twin magic was when Nikki Bella and Brie Bella are actually twins. When they were more physically resembled twins, they would do a thing where one twin, it's a long-standing wrestling thing where the other twin rolls in, is not hurt, the other one hides under the ring, whatever it is. They do a little switcheroo. That doesn't work anymore because their bodies have been, one has been enhanced in a way that does not look like the same. So they've actually made jokes about that. Do you remember when Brie pulled out the tissues?
Yeah. I do. Seems inappropriate to do that at the all women's pay per view.
I don't think they'll actually do that.
Oh,
I'll do
a side bet on that.
Okay, there we go. We got prop bets on tit related jokes. Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair with the last women's standing match.
This is
good.
Great.
This will be third from the top.
This is my favorite feud of the company right now.
Yeah, because Becky Lynch is Stone Cold, and they're treating her like a heel.
I know
the company is, and the fans. She could come out there and like take a crap in the ring, and the fans would go nuts.
She is doing great.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tuesday's match was probably my favorite free TV match of the year.
Yeah,
so I'm very happy.
No, that should be good. Another great match should be Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. They've had three great matches.
I'd love to see Shayna versus anyone.
Shayna's the best heel in the company.
Card.
I think maybe honestly at this point
they're building for Shayna Ronda, right?
Something with them. There's probably going to be a four horsewomen match at Survivor Series in November.
Are all the four horsewomen healthy? That's another issue.
Yeah, we don't know the status of Sasha Banks because she's been off TV.
Yeah.
She was in stories that weren't going anywhere. There's some...
Bailey's fine because she's in mixed match.
Yeah. There's always some question when someone's not on TV. Either are they hurt or did they request time or are they sent home? Sometimes it's just that creative has nothing for you. There's a UK Women's Championship match, TBA. They haven't aired any of the lead up to that because they only did a UK show just to cock block UK wrestling promotions.
Cool.
So they've only got a couple weeks to whether this shows up on the card or not. It would be good. The spoiler.
So maybe the pre-show?
I don't even know if they do a pre-show. They don't have enough matches.
Yeah, they do. There's enough
six.
People.
They do, but they also promise like 50 people. I mean, they could just do a battle royale or some bullshit.
Yeah.
There's the 2018 Mae Young Classic tournament final, mm-hmm. which, spoiler, but it's Toni Storm versus Io Shirai, which should be amazing. Two of my favorite women wrestlers. And then a tag team match, which probably opens the show just to get it like a hot open that doesn't take too long, is Lita and Trish Stratus versus Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. I like anything that gets Mickie James versus Trish Stratus for a few minutes. They had that moment at the Women's Royal Rumble. They had an amazing storyline in, amazing for the time, 2006. And kind of Mickie James is in the middle where she's out there looking great in the ring and just doing really well. And she connects to that generation of the women that came before.
Do you find it odd, though, that all of the women that we were talking about a year or two ago, probably more than half of them are not on the card?
Like Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks is hurt. Sasha and
we don't know, but yeah.
Well, Sasha Banks is not on the card right now, and Charlotte and Sasha headline Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Like,
the Sasha Banks and Bayley kind of going down the card. There's also a rumor of this will actually be where they've been in a position to do a women's tag belt, which they've never done. They have a bunch of factions. They have a bunch of tag teams. They have Asuka, and now they have in SmackDown, you've got Asuka and Naomi.
They have the Iconics.
The Iconics. You have the Riot Squad. You have the Bellas. You've got Sasha and Bayley. So you have all these tag teams, but they've every moment there's a possible announcement. It's been rumored it's going to be this, and it just hasn't been. And that's part of the trying to do, you know, spinning three plates, and one of them has the head of a Saudi journalist on it.
Half of the WrestleMania main storyline is just gone. Nia's not there, but Nia's fine now.
Oh, yeah, Nia's back.
Where's Nia on this card? You see what I mean?
Yeah, Nia's not on the card at this moment. Ember Moon. Nia and Ember Moon had a match. I mean, they have a lot of women there that they're not doing anything with. And this is what...
And then Natalya was like the biggest part of the Ronda storyline for, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
And now it's just gone.
Right. She was a placeholder until the Bellas came back.
I get that, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
No, it's weird. It's strange, and it is... This is where... For the progress they've made, and for the pieces in the post to talk about the progress they've made, they haven't made that much progress because they backslide almost immediately. They're back to having 2-minute matches. They're back to having six women, and it's a quick squash. Like, it's...
Because... No joke. Is this because the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia wants to play with his action figures, and now we have to devote 10 to 20 minutes every Monday night to men that are over the age of 100 combined?
Yeah, no, of course. And the fact that Triple H is usually much more savvy than this. He... You know, they bring back these legends and these guys from the 90s because usually it does well for the ratings. This has not been doing well for the ratings, bringing back Triple H and Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and Kane, because no one really wants... People want to see Shawn Michaels from 10 years ago versus current guys. They don't... Like, there's these dream matches of Shawn Michaels versus Daniel Bryan, who he trained. Shawn Michaels versus AJ Styles, who's like his spiritual successor. Like, there's all these things you could do, but they're not doing that. And now Shawn Michaels, who had for a long time... And obviously, they just backed up the money truck, and I don't begrudge him for taking the money. It wasn't his... He didn't approach Saudi Arabia, you know, like... Wouldn't that be funny, though?
No, it would be it would align with everything.
Yeah, it would align with everything I've ever heard about Shawn Michaels. So, but the thing with these matches is Triple H is usually much more savvy. We're in football season. We're Monday Night Football. WWE does really poorly this time of year.
And this is when Triple H stays away.
Triple H is usually off TV because he doesn't want to be blamed for a bad rating. Yeah. He's like Hogan like that. So the fact that he's even out there and doing this means they must be getting a lot to make it worth his while, that he can tarnish his brand as the ass kicker, the king of kings.
Well, speaking of the late 90s heyday of Shawn Michaels and Triple H, it's time to pivot.
Okay.
Shockingly, Brett did not screw Brett.
I know. We really thought it was going to happen. Brett Kavanaugh is a sitting member of the Supreme Court. He will be for a long time, despite lying under oath, potentially assaulting a woman, maybe being an angry drunk.
So has anyone done more for beer memes since Stone Cold than Brett Kavanaugh?
That's a hell no on
there
that
you
one.
Go.
Yeah. I've just been screaming, I like beer, for weeks.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I shouldn't do that. So Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court. It seems like old news at this point, because that's the speed at which this moves when you're when you're booking a lot of pay-per-views. I mean, the political press, do you have a lot on Brett? I mean, I just kind of feel like...
Do I have anything new to say on Brett? No, I just think that you put some stuff here
headlines
that just made me really depressed that they don't understand how wrestling works.
Yeah,
and so we could actually go from Brett Kavanaugh to UFC for a second here,
sure,
as a side note, but please read
those
headlines.
These headlines from the Washington Post, quote, willing to go to the mat, how Trump and Republicans carried Kavanaugh to the cusp of confirmation, and then the alternate headline was Ultimate Fighter, how Trump helped shift momentum in favor of Kavanaugh.
I actually agree with both of those op-eds.
Yes.
That's completely what happened. Moral of the story is promos count. Promos are more important than realities.
How so?
The only reason why Kavanaugh survived his Hell in a Cell was... By the way, how many times did I lost count of the times the senator said, you've gone through hell to Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
No one ever said just like, please describe what hell is.
Yeah.
Guy that's sitting here that's going to get a sweet gig. How did you go in debt getting Nats tickets?
You get to wear a robe for the rest of your life.
You, Ric Flair, Charlotte Flair, it's an illustrious line of
robe wearers.
Athletes. Okay, so Kavanaugh wasn't doing great, and then he decided, Lindsey Graham, please cut a promo for me. And Lindsey Graham's promo laid the foundation of this is how we talk. This is how Flair connects. This is how Dusty connects. No one's going to be able to cut a promo like that because you're not based in reality.
Or based in the Carolinas.
That's why he is now on the Supreme Court. I know that sounds really crass.
Yeah.
I'm right.
Yeah, no, I mean, the reason he's on the Supreme Court is because it was never in doubt at any moment. Because
because it's predetermined.
Yeah, it's fucking fake. No, I mean, it's because, you know, you have a Republican president and a Republican Senate and Republican Senate Judiciary Committee, and there was never going to be... Like, if you were waiting for Jeff Flake to show political courage, like, I've got a pay-per-view to sell you.
You get swerved.
Yeah, so an Ultimate Fighter. We could talk real quickly about the...
The UFC 229?
Yes, which one of their biggest money matches of all time, Khabib versus Conor.
Mm-hmm.
Conor was exposed.
Yeah.
Probably, like, just as... Like, as bad, I think, as the Ronda...
Ronda's was way worse. Ronda's was way worse.
He got toyed. Like, Khabib could have ended him, and he toyed with him because he wanted to beat the shit out of him because he had said all these things like, your manager is a terrorist snitch, and he insulted Muslim religion and Dagestan.
So what we're saying is Connor cut a great old school promo.
Yeah, and then he got his comeuppance by getting choked the fuck out.
But then what happened on the other side?
So then at the end of the match, someone in Connor's camp was talking shit, and Khabib jumped the fence of the octagon and caused and was part of a melee.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Connor had taken a cheap shot at one of the trainers, and then but no one saw that. All they saw was the trainers jump in and beat the shit out of Connor. And what? Everyone forgot that Connor tapped out and seriously imperiled his opportunities to make money in the sport. And now this there's no reason for a rematch sports wise. But sports entertainment wise,
here we go.
There's going to be there was a piece in the Ringer, the WWE-ification of the UFC, which is hilarious because the UFC's always been low key WWE or high key. I don't know how you could write that piece when a couple months ago Brock Lesnar jumped in the ring and cut a promo on Daniel Cormier. Like, this has already been happening for a long time.
Here's the difference. Connor gets it. I don't think Khabib does.
Oh, no. Khabib is going to murder men.
That's not good.
No.
That's bad for business.
Yeah. Because you have to do it in a consulate.
More important, what happened to the purse?
Oh, it's bad for business. His purse is held.
His purse is held. He doesn't have the money right now.
I know.
That's the whole point of doing any of this.
Yeah.
Why would you keep... You know, it's fucking fake, man. I know it's not fake, but it's fucking fake at the end of the day.
Yeah, no. You get the money that... that's why you beat the guy up.
Yeah, this is not for funsies.
Yeah, no, I mean, Connor gets that. He gets it the most. That's why he did a boxing match. That's why he's out there in the suits and got the whiskey brand. And that's why he's going to have a rematch here when his, not career wouldn't have been over because he's still a money guy. He's the only one who can promote a fight in that stupid company. But does this help? When he does get destroyed by Khabib again in like a few months, where do you think he could end up?
WrestleMania 40.
40?
40. It's going to take a few years. It took Ronda a few years.
Yeah. And she, yeah.
It's a bad look. If you take a few years off, they could rebuild you.
Yeah.
And he'll do a few, like one or two movies with The Rock, and they'll have a Twitter feud, and that'll be great.
Yeah. And they can just do, the Big Show.
Oh, boy.
What's his name?
Is there any other news you would like to get to before we talk to...
No, I think we just got to close it out with some... Just like sad stuff.
Here's my saddest wrestling story of the week. Uh-huh. I think Kevin Owens is on the actual shelf.
Oh yeah, he might be. He might miss WrestleMania.
This is to me the saddest part because Kevin Owens for 2 years has been my highlight of all of wrestling.
Yes.
When he fake quit, I thought he was going to appear at All In. That's how much
he was
worked
gone
into
for a
shoot.
Week. 6 days.
His match at his appearance in the Greatest Royal Rumble was the highlight when he called out Jericho for appearing in other companies.
Yeah.
I don't think that was sanctioned, but they had other things to worry about.
Yeah.
He's the only one that could actually get some subversive stuff in, and now he's hurt, and right. I'm very depressed.
The only good that could come out of this is if he has a similar timeline to Sami Zayn, and they come back and get face turns. Because when he comes back from a long injury, he's going to get a huge face pop. They will probably still try to make him a heel like they did with Seth Rollins. But if they want to make money with these guys for once, they'll come back and they'll beat the shit out of Bobby Lashley or something.
I know the reality of what I want and the reality of what will happen. No matter what, Kevin Owens is the same type of champion as Jericho. He's always just a placeholder champion. That's really depressing.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't fit a certain mold.
Right.
He
busted out of the mold.
The timeline is almost perfect for him to appear at the Royal Rumble.
Depending. I mean, we don't know.
It's a 4 to 8 month injury.
Yeah.
Is the reports I've read on Newsweek. Yeah.
But if it's the 8, then we're looking at Mania.
Exactly. So what if we just do, he wins the Rumble with a bum knee, like a half knee. Sammy helps him. And he doesn't appear again until Mania. And he goes over on Roman, because that will never happen. And then at SummerSlam, it's Jericho and Owens. It's not a match for the belt. It's a match for the list.
You are fantasy booking like such a mark right now.
Pulls out the list. It's CM Punk. Because the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia decided to bring back Punk. I just booked 19.
That's good, because, you know, cults of personality. I wonder if they have those in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, the biggest story was going to be the biggest story of the week until the Saudi journalist. Uh-huh. Let's get through this really quick. Yesterday, Thursday, October 11th, the biggest story, at least during the day, was Kanye West appearing in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
This clearly has wrestling connotations, but do you want me to just run through why this is important or
Sure.
not? Okay. In 2009, Kanye West decided to join someone on stage at the Video Music Awards.
He was right.
He was right. In retrospect, he might have been wrong because that stemmed from a man that was clearly not taking his meds and clearly grieving his recently passed mother. Mm-hmm. And then this is what the president of the United States said about Kanye.
The young lady seems like a perfectly nice person. She's getting her award. What's he doing up there?
Why would he do that?
He's a jackass.
Which led to Kanye never letting go. And that's a bad thing. In 2011, Barack Hussein Obama decided to talk ill will against a different person, this time Donald Trump, at the correspondence dinner, which led to our current reality. These two men operate with a vendetta against the world, not unlike Vincent Kennedy McMahon. All of this stems from dumb shit. And if Obama just decided to not call Kanye a jackass, if Obama decided to just let birtherism, blatant racism, just go, because it's not like he wasn't the only... I'm putting this all on Obama, is what I'm saying.
Obama.
This is all... Both of these men's modus operandi, at this point, is just petty feuds. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, of course. Okay. And mental instability. I mean, Donald Trump probably dementia. Or senility of some sort,
sure.
Kanye West says he admitted he has been diagnosed
exactly
as bipolar.
Here's why we get to the wrestling connotation. Clearly, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump. Kanye's wife is Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. She was the host of a WrestleMania. There we go. That's the connection. Do you know who else was at the White House yesterday?
It's Kid Rock,
that's
baby.
It, that's it, baby.
It's Kid Rock.
I'm pretty sure that's the Mania.
Was it the same Mania?
Let's say
it's the same Mania, yeah. But Kid Rock performed for a Victoria's Secret runway show.
And then finally, this is not really wrestling related, but it kind of, because it deals with the territories. Do you know why I think Kanye decided to visit the White House yesterday?
Why?
Because earlier this week, his musical nemesis, Taylor Swift, actually came out for the first time for Democrats.
Politically at all, which is a huge thing for her. And actually drove like 60,000 voter
registration.
She could
sway an election. Yeah. That's crazy. Anyways, that's the crazy part. Not that the WWE Hall of Famer is in the office. Anyways, that to me, it all stems from the same 2009 VMAs.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, it is. And it is fucked up. Quick tangent on this with Kanye, who we both have in the past have been a big fan of. I don't know if you still are.
I got off the island this year once he released Ye and the Nas record. Because there's two things that I'm not cool with. Denying that you have a mental illness and saying I don't need meds, because that's a very dangerous precedent.
Yeah.
And then the Nas thing of you don't need to get vaccinated.
Producing. Oh, I thought it was producing for someone who beat his wife.
If I was going to do that, I would have been off the train. And I should have been off the train. Sorry, Island, Kanye Island. I should have been off the island since he worked with R. Kelly.
Sure.
So it's not...
Yeah, that's for me. Him saying things about Trump stuff has been like hurtful, but not actually having a real effect. But when he actually came out and like for no reason was like defending all these other abusers in hip hop recently, and like these young kids who are keep getting caught up and stuff, as they should. That's where I got off. And then this thing yesterday, I couldn't actually watch it, but reading the transcript, it is clearly a man with mental health. And it's sad because if he dies right now, wouldn't be surprising, which is unfortunate, but what will happen is we'll go, oh man, I can't believe that's what he went out doing. And we'll also go, there was no one in his life that could say, like, get help. So this is obviously a mental health podcast.
Yeah.
We advocate mental health.
Well, this is a wrestling
care.
And politics show. This is blatantly a mental health podcast.
Yes, so you get mental health care.
All
that's not even a joke.
All wrestlers should have universal health care insurance instead of going for that fucking universal championship belt, number one. Number two, we should not deny mental illness. And here's the thing about Mania.
He actually has mania.
He actually has mania. He spoke for roughly 10 minutes. It was sad because there was like 1 minute there where it was like, oh, these are great points. This is exactly... But then it's just like surrounded by...
He said that we should get rid of the 13th Amendment, which abolishes slavery, because buildings don't have 13th floors. He honestly heard a TED Talk once, and it was in the background, and I think someone mentioned the movie The 13th to him. And he's extrapolating that into... The part that was disappointing for me from who he has been like a mama's boy and been headstrong women in his life, and he's married to one and all that, is that he was like, yeah, I wasn't down with that I'm with her shit. You know, what about a guy who wants to play ball with his dad? It's like, they're not mutually exclusive, my man. Like, get some therapy. Like, just talk it out. So, yeah, that was just disappointing. An artist that we both like. Meanwhile, another artist we do like, there's no wrestling connection at all, thank God. Did they ever use a Nine Inch Nails song?
Yeah, it was called Edge's entire intro package.
Thank you. Okay, so there's a wrestling connection. So yeah, Nine Inch Nails, MSNBC dad, Trent Reznor. See, just pick better artists. That's what you got to do. When you're 13, pick the artist you want to stay with the rest of your life. So I did it right.
All right, so here's my chat. I actually really enjoyed this chat with Marcus. It was a very... I didn't think it'd be this timely, but it's incredibly timely. So we recorded this on Thursday evening around 8 p.m. Eastern. It's now 8:13 a.m. Eastern on Friday. It would not shock me that by the time this posts, WWE is no longer performing in Saudi Arabia. It would not shock me if they go ahead with it and this is never mentioned again on WWE programming.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
We haven't talked in a long time, and it's always surprising to me when real journalists are interested in wrestling and don't pigeonhole it in one box of, this is for rubes, or isn't it interesting that politics is a body slam and everything's a body slam, even though Trump has never body slammed anyone in his life. You today on Mashable on Thursday wrote, here's why WWE fans are talking about the mysterious disappearance of a Saudi Arabian journalist. And I think you do quite a fine job explaining how probably the most important journalism story relates to the biggest sports entertainment company in the world.
Yeah, it's a really unexpected intersection. But anyone who follows WWE knows for like the past 6-7 months, there's kind of been this undercurrent of, kind of discomfort, dissatisfaction roiling among a certain part of the fan base because, you know, this huge deal that WWE signed with Saudi Arabia has kind of been met with, you know, some skepticism. Saudi Arabia is not exactly known for its progressive human rights record. The treatment of women and of the LGBTQ communities leaves much to be desired. And so there's been a lot of skepticism. We saw that with the Greatest Royal Rumble, when none of the women were allowed to compete because of, you know, Saudi laws that forbade women to take part. I think it was, WWE countered like, hey, it takes baby steps sometimes to make an impact on culture. And I think sometimes there was this need to point out that, hey, women can attend this too. They were able to attend the Greatest Royal Rumble. They were only able to attend if they were with a male, often like a brother or a father or a husband. So, again, not a great counter. And so it's kind of lingered. And, there's a lot of talk over the summer about how would WWE make it up to the women. There's some rumors on the dirt sheets about the women were paid as a regular payday, as if they had attended. And then, of course, back in September, we had the announcement of Evolution, the first ever all-women's pay-per-view. And that was met with a lot of applause, a lot of credit to WWE for finally doing this, long overdue, and, giving a full platform to their amazing women wrestlers who are still, on a weekly basis, given short shrift on Raw and SmackDown. But they're finally getting their own pay-per-view. And signing Ronda Rousey certainly helped elevate the women's division, for better or worse. You could argue about how the women have, tons of women have been working very hard, without Rousey, but now there are more eyes on the product. But there's also this underlying suggestion that it was also kind of a mea culpa by the company in regards to Greatest Royal Rumble and that kind of brouhaha. And then a couple of days after they announced Evolution, they announced Crown Jewel. So that was again met with some derision, like, hey guys, what's going on here? You just announced this all women's pay-per-view and now you guys are going back to Saudi Arabia without women wrestlers and to a government with, again, questionable ethics, depending on your point of view. Enter Jamal Khadouri, who disappeared on October 2nd.
Exactly.
Exactly
1 month before Crown Jewels is the disappearance of a journalist.
Yeah, he entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. He never comes out. His fiance was waiting on him because he was going to get confirmation of his divorce so he could proceed with his new marriage. He never comes out. No one ever sees anything from him again. And now based on reporting from the Washington Post and from Turkish officials, it's believed that he was killed by a group of Saudi men sent there by the Crown Prince. The same Crown Prince who WWE has been dealing with, who's in the ring with Vince and Braun Strowman at the end of the Greatest Royal Rumble. the suggestion that he was the one that ordered Khashoggi's killing.
It's not a good look.
And not a great look. And there's surveillance footage that's been released showing a flurry of activity, a lot of darkened vans driving in and out of the consulate right after Khashoggi entered the consulate. There's suggestions that one of the vans leaving, he was killed and then dismembered. So there's this very ugly pall kind of cast over that relationship now and any business that any American company is doing with the Saudi government. So that's really a long-winded way of explaining it.
I think you did a really good job. There's a few things that we should go over. The Greatest Royal Rumble was a few weeks after WrestleMania. At WrestleMania, the curtain jerker, the opening match on the main card, featured Finn Balor with his LGBTQ friends and allies wearing his I'm cool with everyone gear. And then a few days later, when he was in Saudi Arabia, he did not wear his I'm inclusive for everyone gear. That was a mini controversy. Another omitted person on the card was Sami Zayn, who has ties to the Middle East, who was not comfortable performing in Saudi Arabia. He's currently on the shelf, so that wouldn't have come up. And during, you mentioned this in your piece, during the Greatest Royal Rumble in April, there was a video that was run in the arena, the same video that all fans see if they're watching the show on the network, which featured women's wrestling, and the Crown Prince did get some flack for that, saying that that was a scandalous act, and that's also in your piece. So it's not like everyone in Saudi Arabia was also on board with this. There was controversy from every single side. The difference between April and November is now there's a murder, the potential murder on the hands of someone. When you first reached out to WWE, they didn't have a comment. Your piece went up, and a few hours ago, less than an hour ago, you've added a comment from the WWE.
Yeah, the statement is basically, we're monitoring the situation.
Okay.
Which, to have anything... To hear any statement back is kind of a surprise. I figured we wouldn't hear anything until WWE says something publicly. They have that kind of clout, that kind of power. You know, they don't need to address these controversies. Mm-hmm. We saw that with the Fabulous Moolah Royal Rumble, right? The mm-hmm. branding on the Women's Royal Rumble that was changed after this outrage from fans about, you know, pointing out the darker aspects of what Moolah did in her career.
So
whether or not they actually will do anything is, you know, still to be seen. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised I got a response in the first place.
This is clearly shaping up to be an event meant for WWE fans of Saudi Arabian heritage of a certain age. It just seems like the Crown Prince is booking everyone that he wanted to see when he was a child, because the headliners of the match have a combined age of over 200. It's The Undertaker, Mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, Glenn Jacobs, WWE CEO Paul Levesque, and born-again Christian Shawn Michaels in the main event. And that's kind of weird, because clearly The Undertaker, Power of the Devil, whatever. DX's entire thing was about sucking dicks, and that's not going to be cool with the Saudi Arabia government, right?
You're not going to have them saying, you know, we got two words for you in that arena.
Okay,
December 2nd,
so
for sure.
This begs the question. Let's take away the fact that these men are 100 years old combined. Should they be even reuniting DX? Isn't this already such a tone-deaf event to have DX headline that maybe this shouldn't progress at all anyways?
Well, and that's kind of the secondary story from these extra pay-per-views. Not only these two Saudi Arabian pay-per-views, but also, you know, the Super Showdown we just had in Australia, is that it's just watering down the storylines and the product. There are... You know, either you're extending storylines that don't need to be extended, you're giving them extra beats they don't need, or you're just creating storylines out of nowhere simply for the fact that the Crown Prince wants to see The Undertaker, you know, fight DX. You know, it's to me, it's just kind of blatant how much this is just a huge money play. Of all the things that Shawn Michaels could have chosen for his comeback, he's chosen, you know, this event in Saudi Arabia, which now is under the cloud of, you know, political assassination, basically. So, again, it's not a great look. It's continuing to look worse, you know, especially as this is getting a little bit deeper response from the Trump administration. You know,
yeah.
Trump himself seems to be very lackadaisical in his response. You know, he said they would look into it. You know, he had some tough words. But ultimately, he said he's not going to do anything to endanger their $110 billion arms deal that we have with the Saudis. And, you know, the Washington Post had a great story about how much money he's actually made off of Saudis visiting his properties, including like the hotel in Chicago. So, you know, to him, it's all about money. And, of course, it's very interesting to see kind of where he goes with this, because we know other big man's ties to Trump, you know, Linda being in his cabinet. We know that the Trumps and the McMahons are friends even before that. And so it's kind of interesting to see. I almost expect one to kind of follow the other. Like, if Trump doesn't really do much, I wouldn't be surprised to see the McMahons not do much either, because, you know, they've kind of in Trump's wake. Maybe they'll think it's kind of a safe go. I don't know.
I think Paul Levesque handled this really well in April. I do completely agree that, yeah, these are baby steps. This is the way we could usher in women's wrestling into the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It's not ideal. We know that. But in the same way, a giant movie company has a big blockbuster that most people, most like critical fans, don't enjoy, that funds a lot of other indie movies. And doing this one-off show in Saudi Arabia, or these few shows a year in Saudi Arabia, that pays for the performance center. That, in theory, allows more indie wrestlers to have a decent career. Is there any weight to that? Do you feel like... let's take away the potential assassination of a journalist. If it was just that part, why should anybody care? How is this different than to wrestling anywhere else that's not up to our standards of just society?
I think it gives a big mixed message, because on the one hand, you've got the WWE pushing this storyline about, oh, we've revolutionized, you know, the women's division, you know, women's wrestling, you know, I mean, I think we're used to that kind of cognitive dissonance, because 20 years ago, at the height of WWE's popularity, I mean, it was all about scantily clad women beating, you know, just out there in bikinis, basically, kind of just throwing each other around. There were actual women wrestlers participating, but there's a large part of, you know, the sex appeal aspect of it, you know, that kind of watered that down. You know, what we've seen in the last, what, 4 or 5 years, especially with the women coming out of NXT, like the Four Horsewomen, you know, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, you know, that's definitely gone a long way to legitimizing this. And we've seen WWE kind of push this forward with, you know, rebranding the division, you know, from Divas to the Women's Division, just the Women's Championship. And giving spotlight. I mean, even women from independent teams are getting pushes, like Ruby Riott, and now you're seeing the Mae Young Classic. So they are giving this, you know, so on the one hand, you are getting this push, but you, on the other hand, you know, there is that history, and there are, you know, still problematic things in the storytelling, you know, like it's so much of the storytelling of the women is like one woman's just jealous of the other or something. It's still very simple beats, you know, it's not really advancing that cause. And to go to Saudi Arabia where the women aren't even allowed, you know, I don't know. Depending on the day, I change my mind about it, because you had that match between Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks, I believe, in the United Arab Emirates. Am I right about that?
Where they wore the full body suits. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was still the first professional women's wrestling match to take place in the country. And, yeah, you know, they wore the full body suits to abide by the laws, but they were still able to do that. And so, you know, that is a good example of what could come about. I think maybe in this case, I think because of the political context of Saudi Arabia and their history and what it means and the oil money and the fact that it's, I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars here. It is a lot, but, you know, the WWE isn't exactly hurting for money anyway.
No.
You know, off of ticket sales. I mean, we just saw Vince cash out a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
From stock, you know. You know, it's easy to be cynical. Wrestling fans,
sure.
I think, especially, you know, smarts, are going to be cynical by nature, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think we're in a very cynical political environment, so I think it's a perfect storm for kind of this super cynicism, you know, for lack of a better term. So, you know, I don't know. I'm wishy-washy on it myself. I admit that.
So,
you know, I think he made a good point, but I, at the same time, you know, maybe there are other ways to do it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So there's no heroes in wrestling. It's an industry built on the exploitation of everyone involved.
Right.
And the good thing is,
absolutely,
every performer knows that. No one's going in thinking like, oh, this is going to be great forever. No. We all know the ending for every single wrestler. It doesn't matter if you're at John Cena level or if you're a guy at the local gym. It's not going to end well. That being said, there are glimpses of hope, and the thing I like the most about the Greatest Royal Rumble was Cena's entrance was literally for the children, and it featured local children. I'm sure those kids were like friends and family of the Saudi prince, but it didn't matter, because for a minute in Saudi Arabia, there were little boys and little girls cheering John Cena, and to me, that's the way to move forward. That's like a really progressive, subtle way to change a society. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, again, I definitely see that point of view. I saw what, you know, what Triple H was saying when he said that, you know, these were small steps to hoping affecting bigger change. And, you know, we know that the Crown Prince is part of the Vision 2030 program that's making these progressive strides. You know, they want to offer more entertainment. They want to make Saudi Arabia more open to other countries coming in. You know, they want that economy to grow. And, you know, but at the same time, you're saying take the allegations of political assassination out of it. Well, now I've got to bring it back in because at the this is the same guy who, you know, is reported to be behind this this murder because, you know, Khashoggi's columns were very critical of the Crown Prince, you know, of accusing him of hypocrisy and, you know, crackdowns, but turning one face to the world while behaving in a completely different manner at home, you know, and behind closed doors. So, you know, but like you said, there are no heroes in wrestling.
No.
You know, and WWE has, if we know nothing else, it has been this constant cycle of problematic storylines, you know, and then trying to retroactively alter that perception, you know, the racial stereotypes that have taken place. I mean, last year we had Jinder Mahal and the, was it the Punjabi prison match?
Yeah.
The weird bamboo cage match? I mean, you know.
To be fair.
Not exactly.
To be fair to Jinder, that had been used before. That wasn't a creation of Jinder's choosing. That was like the third Punjabi prison match.
It's fair.
A long history of racism is all I'm trying to say.
Right. No, it's true. You know, but that's just the latest. That's just one example of kind of this cycle of problematic things in wrestling. And, you know, because of the way wrestling is, you know, it's just this constant turning of storylines and the way that we as fans, we acknowledge that disconnect. Like, we know we can kind of hold it at a distance as entertainment in a way. That's why they can get away with doing the once in a lifetime match, you know, multiple times,
yeah.
You know, and it's this thing that allows us this kind of almost ironic distance that allows us to put up with that, I think, in a way. But now there's much more concrete world consequences outside from wrestling being brought into wrestling, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. This is coming from outside of WWE, rather than this kind of internal churn that we're used to. And I think that's what's causing a lot of people, a lot of fans, to just kind of say, oh, whoa, wait up. Hold up here, you know, for a second. And so, yeah, it's definitely a messy situation all the way around, you know. And well, I sure as hell don't have a...
Here's what's interesting. Here's what's interesting about all of this. If this was 10, 15 years ago... that's wrong. If this was 20 years ago, and it could have been WCW or WWF going to Saudi Arabia, I think the argument could be made that, like, oh, we have to do it or else this other company would. But now that there's really no competition and there's a board and it's a publicly traded company, could this cost them more in the end if they just take this money and continue with the show as is on November 2nd? Could this actually be something that could really hurt WWE, taking this $50 or $100 million payday a month after the assassination of a journalist?
To be honest, I kind of got to be a little cynical again, because, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like we've seen this before with WWE. You know, they've survived a lot. You know, Owen Hart's death in the ring, some of these various the steroid scandals, you know, we've seen them survive.
Yeah.
and continue to thrive. Also, you know, I don't know, we're talking about this, and there is a segment of fans that are upset about this, but I don't know if it has the same impact with your average fan, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, your average smart is going to, like, sit here and criticize the way they're using Roman Reigns, or say, you know, actually Roman's a great wrestler, but then you've got tons of fans booing him. You know, people used to boo John Cena, but now he's greatly appreciated. There's this weird cynicism in that I don't think that a majority of WWE fans are really, in the long run, going to care.
Yeah.
WWE has survived. Yeah, WWE has survived much worse. They're going to survive this, you know, no matter what happens. I think at a certain point, you know, are the optics even worse if they pull out at this point? And, you know, is it a breach of contract with Saudi Arabia? We don't know much at all about the deal. We know they made the reports, you know, are between 40 and 50 million off of Greatest Royal Rumble alone. So we know there's a lot of money they'd be leaving on the table. You know, I mean, just think about, you know, Chris Benoit, you know, his suicide and the WWE's own CTE issues, you know, not kind of semi-related to the NFL. And you know, the whole Hogan stuff, you know, even though that wasn't Hogan as a WWE personality using that language, but still, you know, they removed him from the Hall of Fame. And
No, you know, right. This is actually a great transition point. NWO is doing like a one-off thing, like a signing or something in Florida. The WWE Instagram account just shared that news. They reintroduced Hulk Hogan into the Now Then Forever video. That's before every WWE program. He's got to be making an appearance at Crown Jewels, right?
I would think so. With him being there, I would not be shocked at all, because it makes sense given all the other people you see on the bill. If they're bringing back Shawn Michaels for this, if The Undertaker is going to wobble out there, you know, for a fight, this is basically a fantasy house show for the Crown Prince. I would not be shocked to see this being the end. And you know it's going to be a friendly audience for Hulk Hogan, because those fans are going to cheer him like crazy.
He'll be the only guy
he
knows.
It's not going to be the same pressure.
Yeah,
it's not going to be the same pressure as it would be here at home, where you're going to have a good portion of the crowd maybe booing him and still not cool with Hogan's presence based on what he said and what he did.
I'm going to end with the most cynical comment of all, and part of me is full of shame for even thinking this, let alone letting it pass through my lips, but I'm talking about wrestling, so I don't give a shit. Why can't the fucking Crown Prince just be a fan of CM Punk? Because this is the only way we're going to get that guy back.
I mean, you want to talk about, like, cynicism and no wrestling, there's no heroes in wrestling? I mean, come on, people, CM Punk's not exactly you know, the most beloved person after that lawsuit with Colt Cabana, and the way he apparently made it turn
maybe,
on Colt. You know?
Maybe so, if Phil gets paid by the Prince, he could pay Scott's legal bills and everything could be kosher in Chicago again.
Fair enough, fair enough. You know, I guess we're just got to be grateful that we're not getting Virgil or something like that.
Don't, no, he's going to be, I guarantee you, he'll be fucking part of the NWO just walking out. Virgil will be it. Book
true.
It. Book that shit. Virgil returns at the Crown Jewels.